Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. Okay. We're going to study Petra Sur. The word for rock is Sur, and it is also the root of surety and security. The Oriental culture helped establish the definition of this descriptive title that declares three great truths about God: His eternal duration, His permanence, His inexhaustible strength, He's impenetrable, and His unchangeableness. That's a weird word. Unchangeableness. His stability. So God's permanent, impenetrable, and stable in our lives. As a rock, God is recognized as permanent. He is reverenced as impenetrable, and He is regarded as sure, able to withstand unchanged by the elements of time, trials, testings, tribulations, and threats. All the things that really wreak havoc on us. So all the things that really affect us are nothing to God. They have an illustration of the Matterhorn in Switzerland. Things been through all kinds of stuff there. I mean, blizzard, snow, ice, wind erosion, time. There's earthquakes, all kinds of stuff. And it's been through, what, two world wars, you know. It's still standing there. That's the kind of picture that the Bible's trying to paint. God's solid as a rock, the mountain, you know. He's not going to be changed. The name Sur denotes our God as a rock, secure in every situation. Deuteronomy 32, 4, 15, 8, and 30, 31. Sur denotes security, that assurance that is necessary for necessary to our lives if we are to be established. Okay? And I know that Pastor talked about us being established in earlier lessons this year. Okay? We would put these terms together to reveal a simple and practical but profound truth: in God our rock is a sure foundation, a security for investment, and a strength. Okay? Everybody got all that? No? Okay. How about we back up a little bit? Can't read it? It's blurry? Is that better or worse? Better now or now? No. How's that? Tell me when to stop. Good? All right. So the first blank is Sur. Surety, security, permanence, impenetrable, stability, permanent, impenetrable, sure. Time trials, testings, tribulations, threats. I'm not saying I'm read them. Can't read them? Everybody move to the front. Move it over this way. How's this? Better? You guys don't give Chris and Josh this much trouble. That's true. Okay. See? There you go. Move up to the front. All right. Where are we at? Who needs what? We got down at the bottom, sir, assurance, and established. That's the last for this page. Everybody got it? I got to move on. Give them the notes. Okay. All right. Sur is the God who pulled us up from the horrible pit. Obviously, that's talking about hell, but the horrible pit of sin. He also sets us up above the pit of our sin. I'm going to put these down in my box bag here. I don't need all these colors. He sets us on a sure foundation, a rock. David praises God for being the rock of his salvation in Psalm 61, 1 and 2. Sure is our rock of salvation, a deliverance from our enemies in 2 Samuel 22, 1 through 4, 30 through 32 and 47. Sure is our rock of security in every situation. Psalm 61, 1 through 4. Sure is our rock, our strength through prayer. Psalm 28, 1 and 2. And sure is our rock and source from which we draw strength. 1 Corinthians 10, 4. In his song in Deuteronomy, Moses rebuked Israel for the idolatry because they had turned from their rock, which was the rock, to another, which was no rock. Five times Moses speaks of the rock in Deuteronomy chapter 32. The rock of salvation in verse 15, the source of grace. The rock that begat thee in verse 18, the source of life. The rock that sold them in verse 30, that's their source of ownership. The rock not as our rock, that's the source of perfection in verse 31. And the rock whom they trusted in verse 37 is the source of failure. So the last rock, who was no rock, is the one that failed them. When we put our trust in ourselves and other things than God, that's when we're going to fall on our face. The psalmist favors the description of God as our rock. Thou art my rock in Psalm 72:3. He is my rock in Psalm 92:15. And he is my only rock in my salvation in Psalm 62:5-6. The word, sir, is rock, also translated strength. The Lord is my strength. Stability also also speaks of security. Hide me in the cleft of the rock within the fortress. Okay, so strength, security, stability, all of those connotations go along with that. Everybody got those? You sure? Go. The Old Testament saint found a resting place and declared it to be sure, the rock, our God. To rest meant to be settled or at ease. This idea is promoted in the thought that only on a sure foundation can one be secure, and only when you are secure can you be at rest. In the New Testament, we quickly see that the rock is to be our sure foundation. Christ is our foundation upon which we build. Of course, Matthew 16, 13 through 18. We are established, secure, settled, stable on the rock, Christ Jesus. When we fear the storms of life, we rest upon the rock. When enemies assail and storms prevail, hide thou me in the cleft of the rock. We have a sure, secure, anchor your soul to that rock that cannot move. Sure, the rock as God. Everybody got that? Okay. Good. That one was easy. Let me get that notes back. Okay. Got to keep them all together. Any questions? Sir? Not sir. Sir. S-U-R. Okay. So, the second lesson today, the second name of God we're going to study is, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, Sema, the branch. So we will study that. And this one is, actually, when I did my notes and stuff, I went through this one first because this one was really interesting. So, okay. I'll read the verse to you. All right. So Zechariah, which is way in the back of the New Testament. Okay. Zechariah 6:12 says, "And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord." Of course, this is a prophecy of Jesus. I'm speaking of Jesus in the Old Testament. The Lord of hosts is Jehovah. We learned that. Jehovah is Sabaoth. He is Lord of lords. He is El Elyon, the Most High, chiefest of authority. The branch, Sema, is the name given to given in reference with his humanity, the man, a living branch. The name Sema is a messianic title that is prophetic and speaks of Christ as a living sprout or growth that comes forth from God as a stem and ultimately a branch. Okay? So, we talked about Jehovah Sabaoth and El Elyon, the Most High and the Lord of Lords, but Sema is his human side. This, the, when he became human and came to earth here, Sema is a prophetic title that denotes that. Okay, he is a sprout here for us. Okay, the emphasis is on the source of the branch, God the Father. The branch is not alone, nor does the branch control, but rather the branch is subject to the source of life. Okay, and source of life and strength, and cannot survive without that sustenance. Same as us. Okay. Jesus came to earth as a man, and he was subject to God the Father, which is the source of life. Okay, we are supposed to be the branch, you know, here, and we have to be plugged in to the trunk, the root, if we're going to get our life. What my first job when I was a kid, little kid, 12, was to go through an apple orchard and cut all the suckers out of an apple tree. Suckers are the brand new sprouts that grow up that rob all the nutrients from the established branches that have the apples hanging on them. So my job was to go through and cut all the suckers out. And it was a funny thing. I cut them out, throw them on the ground, and I come back a week later and they're all brown and the leaves are falling off. And well, why is that? Because it was cut off from the branch. Okay? So we, like Christ is the branch from the stem or the root, or the, I'm sorry, the trunk of the tree, which is God. If we're separated from the branch, okay, we're going to be withered and died. Okay? Zechariah's prophecy speaks of the humanity of the branch and the source of his strength and the purpose of the branch. Purpose of the branch is to bring forth fruit. Fruit of the branch is the evidence of its design and purpose of, or purpose being fulfilled. Okay, of course, you hear a lot about evidence of design and things like that in the talk for evolution and all of that stuff. And I just think that it's pretty amazing that God keeps bringing up to us, I created this to work in a certain way. And it didn't happen by chance. This is how it works. In everything that God does, he shows us that he is on purpose doing things a certain way in our lives. So the fruit of the branch is the evidence of its design and purpose being fulfilled. It's made that way on purpose by God. Okay? We have to abide in him to get our strength. Okay? Isaiah 4 verse 2 identifies the branch of the Lord, which is to say the shoot or sprout, grown out of Yah, which we learned last week is the prefix for Jehovah, which means I am. Okay? Yah will be beautiful and glorious and bear fruit. The prophecy Isaiah delivers concerns the Messiah as the strong deliverance of the people of Israel. Through much afflictions, strong deliverance of the people of Israel through much affliction. They shall be delivered and find peace in the strength and beauty of the branch. Okay? So, just like Israel got deliverance from the branch, okay, we can today go rest in Christ and find strength and see all the beauty of God working in our lives and gain peace from that. Okay, so rest in the branch. Did you guys get all that? Second word after on the top, Sebaoth. T-S-E-B-A-O-T-H. That was one of the other names of God we... that was a while ago that we studied that one. Which one's next? Wouldn't you know? Okay. In Psalm 40, verse 2, I'm going to read that one actually because that one's a little difficult. It doesn't actually... Oops, that's Isaiah. There's Psalms. Psalms 40, verse 2. They brought up an illustration about quicksand and the flash floods and things like that. Psalm 40, verse 2 says, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Now, when I was doing these, I did this one first, and then I did the rock, and I thought, oh, they put this on the wrong lesson. No, they didn't. Because, you ever see those old Western, you know, okay, Lone Ranger. Who remembers the Lone Ranger? Lone Ranger would be running, chasing the bad guys, and he'd go right in that quicksand every time. And what did Tonto do? Came and grabbed a branch and held it out to him. He grabbed that branch and they pulled him out of the quicksand. Right? So, it occurred to me that the branch is the one that was the deliverer. Okay? Not the guy pulling him out. The branch, if there wasn't a branch that to help him get out of the quicksand, that wouldn't happen. Okay? So, that's the illustration for the deliverer. Okay, strong deliverance. Anyway, Isaiah 11, 1 through 9 speaks of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who will be the branch out of the root of Jesse. And that was all the genealogies and, you know, where he would come from. Isaiah, of course, is just full of prophecies about Jesus Christ. I have a neat Bible. It's available right over there. There's a little plug. The giant print, every time that there's a scripture in the Old Testament that is a prophecy of Christ, it's got a star next to it. And Isaiah's got nothing but stars. It's just full of prophecy. So if you want to learn more about Christ, read Isaiah. That's a, you know, really good place to learn. Jesus Christ is a branch out of the root of Jesse, who shall restore the Israel and bring forth peace. Sema is used in a fourfold way in Scripture and consistently describes him who came forth from the Father, just as a branch or a stem grows out of the trunk of a tree. Okay, so the first way that it was used in Scripture was the branch of Jehovah in Isaiah 4:2. Emmanuel is God with us, who will be fully manifested to Israel after they are restored and converted. Then he shall return in divine glory. Okay. Of course, some of that prophecy hasn't been fulfilled yet. Jehovah, he came as Emmanuel, God with us. And we are getting ready to celebrate that season right now. Christmas is coming up. And then, when he did, Israel rejected him and ended up crucifying him. And he died for our sins. And later, during the tribulation, Israel is actually going to be restored and converted because of the tribulation and the oppression that they're going to receive. And when that happens, then he's going to return in his glory and bring the saints with him. So that's going to be kind of cool. We're going to get to see that. So that is a part prophecy that's been fulfilled and some that hasn't yet. The second way is the branch of David, Isaiah 11:1. He talks about the seed of David according to the flesh, and who will be revealed in his earthly glory as King of kings and Lord of lords. Jeremiah describes him as a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness when he sets up his kingdom. Of course, that's still to come as well. Revelation talks about him coming and ruling the earth for 1,000 years. So that's to be forthcoming. Number three, the branch, Jehovah's servant. I'm sorry for my chicken scratch up on the thing. I ran out of space. Zechariah prophesied, the one who grew out of Jehovah as a tender plant is the Messiah, whose humiliation and obedience unto death for the iniquity of us all is according to the prophetic scripture. Of course, that's happened. Talk about the Easter story and all of that. The important thing is that Christ died for our sin, okay? And he paid that price when he didn't deserve it. He was humiliated. He gave up all of his... It would be humiliating enough to go through what he went through, but to give up all of his attributes that he had as God the Son, set that aside and take on human form, that's, you know, more than what we should have had to ask. But that's God's perfect plan, so we have to accept that. Okay? This branch is used to serve the needs of all men, and it talks Jehovah Rapha, which is the Jehovah that heals thee, God that healeth you. The branch, the name of man, is symbolic, crowning of Joshua. It speaks of man. Jesus Christ in his... in his character as the Son of Man, the last Adam, the second Adam, the restorer of all that was lost by the first Adam, in him, the stem of Jesse's rod is our blessing of restoration. It is all the blessing of restoration. He shall have dominion over all, a mighty branch, a rod, a staff, a scepter of righteousness for a priest or a king. And of course, Bible talks about he's going to rule with a rod of iron. And that's not a rod of iron that he's going to beat us with. It's a rod of iron that shows his authority and his justice. Okay? I tell my kids, go out and get me a stick so I can beat you all the time. It's not the same connotation there. It's the symbol of his authority is his scepter as a king. Okay? Matthew is the gospel of the branch of David. Matthew, the teacher, presents Christ as king. He wrote the message to the Jews. Mark is the gospel of Jehovah's servant, the branch. Mark is the gospel of Jehovah's servant, the branch. Mark, the preacher, presents Christ as the servant, as he wrote to the Romans. Luke is the gospel of the man whose name is the branch. Luke, the physician, presents Christ as the perfect man, as he wrote to the Greeks. And John is the gospel of the branch of Jehovah. John, the theologian, presents Christ as the mighty God, who, as he wrote to the church. Okay, so what we talked about before, the character, the four ways that it's used, it's also broken down into the Gospels. Each Gospel talks about the branch in a different way, and each Gospel was actually written to a different group of people. Okay, the Jews, the Romans, the Greeks, and John, of course, wrote to the Ephesian church. The four prophetic views of the messianic promise of Israel's restoration rest upon the strength of the branch stemming from the very trunk and root of God, which we talked about. Jesus' power, the branch power, comes from the trunk and the root. And we are resting on the branch. So we get our power from the branch gets power from the root, and everybody's happy. The Gospels give two genealogies. There is a genealogy in Matthew, for a king has to have a genealogy to prove his royal line. There is a genealogy in Luke, for the perfect man should have one. There is no genealogy in Mark, for a servant doesn't need one. And there's no genealogy in John, for the mighty God does not have one. He is one. There is no genealogy. Okay? The New Testament declares the branch of the Old Testament to be Jesus Christ. And he is the restorer of lost souls as well as a restorer of Israel. Christ is called the day spring from on high in Luke 1:78. Christ sprang out of Judah and is heir to David's throne in Hebrews 7:14. Christians are called branches which shoot forth from Christ, who is the vine. John 15, 5 through 8. When it's talking about that, the vine is the branch. Okay, you've got the root of. Let me see. How do I explain this? Who's seen grapevines? Okay, grapevine has one big trunk. Okay, and then the vines come off of the trunk and wind around everything. Kill whatever they grab hold of. So if they wrap around one of your nice oak trees, they're going to kill it. Keep it pruned back. The vines shoot out of the trunk, and then the little grape things, where the stems, those are the branches of a grape vine. So that's the context of this, and it's a little confusing because it then talks about Christ being the vine instead of the branch, but when you're talking about grapes and vines and things like that, that's the same as a tree. The tree is the trunk, and then the branch, and then the little shoots with the leaves and all that stuff. The same picture. Christ is a branch of God, and all that God will do and all that God is flow through the branch. Life and all that is associated with it finds the branch, the source, and this branch is stemmed in Luke. And this branch is stemmed in, shoots forth from, and is anchored in God. We need to be an offshoot of the branch, grafted in, rooted deeply, and part of the living branch, Jesus Christ. Okay, so we got through that. The branch abiding in. Did everybody get all the spots? I didn't ask this time. If you didn't, I have the notes, so you can get them from me. We talked about Sema, the branch, today, and about Petrasher, the rock. Two attributes of God that if we're not tied into and we're not standing solid on, we're just not going to have power in our life like we should. So get rooted in the branch and set your foundation on the rock.